The time has come and is already here to begin. So it may be that people will be coming in as they arrive and taking their seats, but it's great to be able to gather today for this special time together. We are so thankful to God that we can meet this morning with Christians all over the world gathering to give God praise and glory. And this morning we are going to be building on the last series that we looked at in the book of Colossians, where Christ was at the center of our relationships. We're going to see how through history and through biblical history, the heroes of the Christian faith have shown us how that can be sort of lived out, fixing their eyes on Jesus and making him the focus of all that we're about. So today we start that new series, Heroes of the Faith, looking at people like Noah and Abraham, Gideon and Rahab and all sorts of people from the Old Testament, and seeing how their lives reveal a journey of faith, a journey of trust in God that had a focus and an aim and a destination. And we're going to see what we can learn from their lives about our journey of faith today. Today we're going to be thinking about that journey through faith that Daryl is going to be preaching on. And next Sunday, Dave, our rector, will be here, having returned from his three-month sabbatical, is the last Sunday that he will be on that sabbatical. So he starts tomorrow. We're going to just take a few moments to think about the week ahead. And firstly, just to mention a couple of things. First, there's the what's happening on... what have you got the slides there? On Wednesday, that's right, the waiting room at All Saints, a time to be still and wait upon God. At 7 o'clock in All Saints. Secondly, the thing on Thursday is Messy Church, something very, very different in the same environment, in the same church. Incredibly active way of exploring Christian faith from 3 o'clock for all ages at All Saints. And finally, an event happening on Friday, the 21st, a Cayley. Now, this event is an amazing opportunity to get together, and Jan is going to say a word about that, because I really, sadly, Sean and I are going to be away. I know quite a few people are going to be away, but I wish I was here, because I've been to lots of Cayleys before, and they are fantastic things to do. So tell us about what opportunities lie ahead.
I think Joe's pretty much done my job for me. But there is a Cayley happening this coming Friday, 7 o'clock at All Saints. So come along. It's a big celebration because Dave is back, so we wanted to get the whole church family together to have a dance maybe or just sit and listen to a great band. So please come along. It's Friday, 21st, at 7 o'clock till 10 in the evening.
Thank you. Jan, will you stay here a minute? And I'd like to ask Tristan to come forward, if I may, because we have some very, very wonderful news about Tristan and Jan. And their so he's not pregnant. but Tristan, we know that for both of you, you've been sensing the Lord's calling to how you might live the life that he has called you to, and inevitably that's both of you really in lots of different ways over the months and indeed the years that have been going past. And you've taken already several steps of faith in exploring the possibility of being ordained, which means becoming a vicar eventually after being a curate and going through years of training before that as well. But it's been a long process. And many of us will be aware that a couple of weeks ago you went to the Bishop's Advisory Panel, it's BAP for short, over 3 days, 2 days, trying to discern for those people, trying to discern whether that was the right thing for you as well, whether that was the Lord's calling. And we are so thrilled that they were able to see what was true for you and for God in your life and have recommended you for training for that calling. I think we ought to give a huge clap. Do you want to say anything?
To say thank you for everyone who was praying. I know not everybody knew about it, but some people knew about it, so thank you for all those who are praying. I feel like it's the end of a long process, but actually it's just the beginning of an even longer one, so you know, lots still to do, but thank you.
So let's pray for Tristan and for Jan, because this is you're going down to Bristol, aren't you, training at Trinity, and it's going to be fun.
I haven't got in yet, but hopefully.
It's from September, so it's a huge step. And as a church, we just want to pray. And I was thinking about this during the week, and I wanted to use the words of the Lord's Prayer, of the 23rd Psalm, rather, just to pray for you together. So if you'd just maybe just extend a hand of blessing, or in your mind, just reach out to Jan and to Tristan and their family. Lord, we do pray that they may know you as their shepherd. They would lack nothing in these days and months ahead. May they know you making them to lie down in green pastures, leading them beside still waters, and restoring their souls. May they know you guiding them along the right paths for your name's sake. And even though they might walk through dark valleys, they would fear no evil, for you are with them, Lord. Your rod and staff, they strengthens, comforts them, gives them all that they need to go through the tough times and the times of confusion and darkness. And we thank you, Father, that you prepare a table, a feast of wonderful things in the presence of those who might seek to come against them. But you anoint their heads with oil, and their cup will overflow with your goodness. Your mercy will follow them every day of their lives, that they might know your presence every step of that way, and that they might dwell in your presence. Not only during this time of training, but during that time of ministry and every aspect of their lives. Indeed, Lord, forever. We bless you both in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Bless you. Thank you very much indeed. It's a really, really special time. Let's stand together as we come to worship God.
We don't have a drummer today, so could we have some help with some percussion instruments, please? It's a great box down there, and we really could do with some extra sounds this morning. So can we have any children or any big children? Come and grab something to shake or to bash or something to make some noise. That'd be great.
Oh,
for all your goodness to us. Thank you that you provide for us and give us more than we need. We pray that you would bless these gifts given this week, not only in church but through our online giving, and we pray that your Spirit would use these gifts for the glory of your name and the ongoing work of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Please sit down. Now, I need to have three volunteers that will help with some drawing. Hang on a second now. Let me just move this over into the right place. Now, you may not know that I used to be an art teacher. And I'm not going to be doing any drawing myself, but I have learnt one or two things that are really helpful. And one of the basic things about doing art is to learn to draw a straight line. Now, I wanted to have three people, I've got some tips, felt tip pens here, to help with this. Would you like to come, Abby? Yeah. And you two guys over here? Thank you very much. Fantastic. Right. Wonderful. Do you want to come and draw as well?
Yeah.
Yep, wonderful. Okay, we'll have four people then. That's marvellous. Now, what I'd like you to do, one at a time, if you want to go first, Abby, is to draw a straight line across the page, okay? Let's see how you go. All the way across. That's it. Keep going. That's very good. Excellent. Well done. Well done indeed. Right, next one. See, you want to try draw a straight line?
I would like green.
Okay, go for green. Right. I like a man who knows what he wants. That's fantastic. All the way across. Very good indeed. Well done indeed. Next pen is orange. Draw a straight line across here. I'll just get another one. Wow. Thank you very much. And last one here. All the way across. That's my goodness me. I don't think you need any lessons at all. Hang on, just wait a minute, because you've done really well. Because these lines are really straight, I would say. Wouldn't you say? They've done a fantastic job. Now, the one thing that I learned when I was... one of the things I learned when I was training to teach art is the secret of drawing a straight line is to have a focus. In other words, to have something to aim for. Now, if I put a dot there, what I want you to do, Abby, where's your pen? Which is your pen? You got it there. Come stand here. I want you to try something different. Rather than looking at the pen when you're drawing, I want you to look at this point here all the time and draw from there to there without looking at the pen. Keep looking at that point all the time. Go on, keep going to the point all the time. Very good indeed. Well done. Right. Let's have a go here. Would you like to draw one? Keep looking at this point. Try it with your green pen.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Is that going to be too high for you? Try there. Start here and then draw right across, keeping looking at that point all the time. Go on. Keep going. Keep going. That's it. Well done. Very good indeed. Are you going to have a go? Right, here's the point. Give it a go with that. Excellent. Very good indeed. Is that all right? Thank you very much. Give yourselves a very big clap and everybody else. Thank you. You can go and sit down. Now, if one was to try that a few times, I think that if you practice that at home, I think you'd find that over time, the lines would get straighter and straighter. I have to say that the first lines were pretty even straighter than the second ones. So what do I know about this? But it usually works. It certainly worked in my granddaughter's case, and it works for me. That if you have a point that you are looking at, and you keep focusing on that, you will get a much straighter line and go more effectively. That is certainly the case for lots of different things, especially things like tennis. Now, you can see on the screen, I've got a photograph of poor Ons. Those of you, oh, she was so sad. Jean Jabeur, she lost in her semi-final. But you can see her eyes are fixed on what thing is she looking at? Even though she's just about to hit the ball. Yes? The ball, absolutely right. She's not going sort of like this. She's going, look, and there's the ball. She's coming with her forehand. Eyes on the ball. Canoeing. How many people go on a river or lake in a canoe? Put your hands up if you've done that. Yeah, nearly half of you. Well, one of the things that going in a straight line for canoeing is that you need to fix your eyes on a point on the opposite side of the bank or wherever you're going. And rather than looking down like this, canoeing, you look straight ahead and keep focusing and paddle with that in mind. The person on the bottom there is not really looking. He's looking down at the paddle, and he's going to go all over the place. But the person behind is looking straight ahead, and they're much more likely to get there in a straight line. The point being that when we're going through life, if we are able to fix our eyes on Jesus and not think about all the things that are going on in our lives and all the worries that we have and all the difficulties that we're facing, but fix our eyes on Jesus, we can walk, well, the phrase is by faith in him, and not by looking at ourselves or the troubles. And that is a much, much better way of living. You can do amazing things if we fix our eyes on Jesus. As St. Peter found out, do you remember when he was called by Jesus to get out of the boat and walk on the water even towards Jesus? And when he was looking at Jesus, he got out of the boat, he walked across the water until fear got the better of him. And he started to look down. And as soon as he looked down and took his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink. Jesus reached out his hand and rescued him. He said, "Why did you doubt? Why didn't you keep looking at me?" Because that was the lesson that Peter had to learn. And as we go forward in life, that's the great lesson that we're going to explore today and over these coming weeks, that fixing our eyes on Jesus is the key to living by faith. So let's thank God for all that he's done for us in the moment of prayer. Lord Jesus, we praise you that you are the God who leads us into life. Thank you that as we fix our eyes on you, as we focus on you, you lead us and you guide us and you give us the faith to journey with you every step of the way. Amen. Let's stand together for a moment, and we're going to share the peace as the children in a moment go to their groups. Let's stand together. May the peace of the Lord be always with you. So let us share a sign of God's peace with one another as the children and the young people go to their groups. For a moment and come to God in prayer. I'm going to use some words from the Church of England's morning worship liturgy, which I think is a marvellous way of praying at the beginning of a new day. And we're going to include in this some time of silence, time just to be still in God's presence, and to think of those things which we are going to be doing this day or this week, and bring them to God and sort of gather them together and say, Lord, this is a day that you've made. This is a week that you've given me. I want to bring these to you and know that you will lead me and guide me through them. The night has passed. The day lies open before us. Let us be still in God's presence. So as we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Praise be, hallelujah. May we go this day into every moment with an hallelujah in our hearts. Lord, may we be an Easter people with hallelujah being our song. Whatever comes our way, Lord, you are the one who will lead us through. You are the one who walks with us. You are the one who takes us by the hand when we fall and restores us. Lord, rekindle our faith, renew our hope, and give us a fresh vision of how great you are. We pray now, Lord, that you would open our hearts to your word. As you open your word to our hearts, we might see Jesus. Amen. Please be seated as Peter comes to bring our readings, and then Daryl preaches and interprets to us God's word.
Good morning, and allow a sound check on this microphone. If you want to follow the reading, it's in the Church Bibles on page 1209. It's Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 to 3, and Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. So let us listen to the word of the Lord. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Chapter 12:1-3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Amen.
Good morning. So, this is a lovely privilege. Let's see where we are in these. To be beginning our series on Hebrews chapter 11, the heroes of the faith. So in this series, we're going to be tracking through Hebrews chapter 11. And we're doing this interesting thing today. We're picking up the first three verses of chapter 11, and then we're going to finish off with the first three verses of chapter 12. So it's kind of a couple of bookends on the individual examples that we'll get through this sermon series. Is this a bit loud? Getting a bit of echo here. Thanks. So This does sit in a context, okay, so we're at chapter 11, so that means that there's already been 10 chapters that have gone through in the book of Hebrews. And the writer, most people think the writer is Paul or someone very close to Paul, maybe somebody like Luke, possibly taking some of Paul's teachings and squishing them into the letter to the Hebrews. It's a letter written to primarily to Jewish believers in Jesus, but of course comes to the whole church. And up to this point in the letter, the author has been showing us the magnificent Son of God. So he's bringing through examples of the Old Testament, he's bringing out who is this person, who is this Son that God has given to us as he picks up all of the pictures that come through, very familiar to Jewish people through the Old Testament. And in particular, he wants to show them that Jesus brings a better covenant than the covenant of Moses, which is quite a difficult thing to bring to a Jewish person. Yeah, because Moses is the dude. And you don't contradict Moses, which Paul never does, and neither does the author here. But he's saying Moses was part of this journey to bring you through to this better covenant, which is Christ. And in fact, Jesus, he becomes both the high priest and the sacrifice of the better covenant. So all this stuff's gone before us. And there's something that the author Jesus just keeps coming back to in the book of Hebrews, which is that there's a necessity to respond to what God has done in faith. And if you don't respond to what God's done, it doesn't change what God's done. You can't nullify anything God's done by just saying, oh, I won't have anything to do with that. But the necessity of response if you want to enter into the benefits of what God's done. And so the author keeps coming and saying, no, you must respond. You must enter in because you could wind up dead in the wilderness like the people of Israel. You must enter in, and the entrance is by faith. He feels that his readers are having a problem with the long haul. Okay, and this is what's central to chapter 11, that the readers, his audience is struggling. They're struggling to keep going. So if we back up a little bit to, just to say, this picture, I believe, please if I'm wrong, forgive me, but I believe this is from the entrance to the Bible school in Wales that was founded by Rhys Howes. That's particularly for you, Colin. Yes, faith is substance. If you ever want to have a tormenting book to read, read Rhys Howes' Intercessor. It's lovely. It's by Norman Grubb. Any case, that was a man who understood faith. So just remember, we're keeping this in mind. We're coming to a letter of some people who are struggling to keep going. And the author is saying, how am I going to speak to these people so that they will be rooted in what they know, but they will endure for the long haul? So if we just flip back to chapter 10, I don't have a pew Bible here, but I've got my own one, so I don't know the number. But just at the end, the page number, just at the end of chapter 10, we'll start at verse 35. So this is chapter 10, verse 35 of Hebrews. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you've done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet in a little while, the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, or my righteous one by his faith shall live. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back, encouragement, and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. So then we begin at... the first thing that the author is wanting to say is that this is not faith of a moment. Okay, I believed that, and that. So it's the kind of faith that says, I get out my card and I've got my bill at Tesco, and I put my card on the machine and I believe I've got money in it, and then it's done. It's not that kind of faith. It's an enduring posture of faith that we are to stand in. It's something that is our way of life, and it continues through our whole life. And when the Bible talks about faith, faith is always relational. So this is not very revelatory, but I just want to say that in the original language of the New Testament, the word for faith, it's the noun for the verb to trust. Okay, so it's kind of the same in English, but we don't have the same words. And so believe, faith, and trust, they're all the same root word in the original language. So we've developed this kind of way of thinking that says faith is some sort of independent force that I can have, and if I have that, I can do things like Luke Skywalker, and I can make rocks lift up and stuff like that. That's not biblical faith. Faith in the Bible is trust in a person. It's a relationship. So it's the foundation of your relationship. Now, we all understand relational trust very, very well. You know, you've got those friends, and they're a bit dodgy, and you're just not sure when they say the thing they say that they're actually going to do it. And you've got those other friends that when they say it, it's rock solid. You have faith in that person. If he says it, he'll do it. If he says it, he might just be being nice. I don't know. So, faith in the Bible is trust in a person. I want to just lay that as a foundation for all of chapter 11. And critically, faith is expressed through actions, and they're actions that rely on the faithfulness of the person. Okay? So this is all, I'm sorry if this sounds terribly obvious, but faith is acting on the basis of a person you know to be faithful. So it's like a continual walking out of this relational trust that you have in this person. So let's move to chapter 11. Oh, hang on, too late. Well, this is by faith, all right, chapter 11. And at the beginning of chapter 11, we are told that faith is the assurance. Actually, that rock you saw there, substance. Substance is the same word. It's the assurance or the substance of things that are hoped for. It is the conviction of things that are not seen. So when you have conviction about something, that means you're sure about it. When you have assurance, when something is a substance to you, you're sure of it. So it is a settled matter in your heart. So faith is talking about, faith brings these matters that we might hope for and things that we can't see, and brings them to the reality of our experience. And interestingly enough, the author then goes on in verse 3 to start say, by faith we understand the universe was created by the word of God, so what is seen was made out of what was not seen. Which is odd, because he's saying that faith is the substance of, or the assurance of things not seen, and then he says, here's something seen that we can all see. Our first evidence of faith is that we believe this seen thing came from something that was not seen. So it's kind of an interesting journey. Then the next step is going to be go on to this list of what we're calling heroes of the faith. So, again, to be clear, this is a faith in a person. So suppose I were to come to you and I was to offer you a job. I can't, sadly, if you need a job. But somebody came, or a person, I came to you and I proposed, here's a job that you could do in my company. And it is the perfect job for you. It's the thing you've always loved and longed to do. And the conditions are very, very favorable. And it's just everything you've ever wanted. What are you going to do with that offer? What's the first thing you're going to start doing? You can shout out answers if you want to. I don't know whether we're allowed to be unruly in the morning service. Think about it. On the basis of what I've told you, you're going to quit your current job and then come and turn up at my place and say, okay, I'm here to work. Well, you're going to want to know about me, aren't you? You're going to want to understand, okay, is this guy for real? Is he actually making any profit? Is this offer going to stand? Am I going to turn up there and there's no job, or the job disappears in 3 months? You will be investigating me. I'll tell you what you won't be doing. You won't be sitting at home trying hard to believe that it's true. It's just such an outrageously good offer. I just can't believe it, so I need to try harder. You're just not going to do that, are you? There's nothing we do that with. I don't trust that person. I need to try harder to trust them. No, I need to know that person better. I need to know more about them. I need to know them. I'm not sure if I missed a slide here or not. Okay. Anyway, to put it another way, this is basing your actions or your activity on the clear promises of the God whom you've come to know and trust. That's what we're talking about when we look at Hebrews chapter 11. It is faith to be lived by. And it is doing that. It's trusting in his promises and acting on them that brings the things we cannot see into the reality of our experience. That's where the substance comes into our life. If you don't take the action, you never get the substance. So this is not intellectual assent. This is faith you stand on, faith you walk on. And it's lovely because it says in chapter 11 and then in chapter 12 that these people were commended for their faith. I promise you the world will not commend you for this faith. People will think you're pretty silly because you're believing in something you cannot see. You're actually acting on it. I'm going to step out and trust this thing that you can't hear, you can't see, you don't even think is real. And you will see the evidence of my life that this one is faithful to me. So throughout chapter 11, we have this privilege of these stories of faith. Now, the wonder of a story or a testimony is that in a story, you're not just filtering data, okay? You're not trying to just weigh things up and see where they're true. In a story, you get to stand in the shoes of another person, and you kind of vicariously experience what they experienced. You stand in Moses' shoes in front of the Red Sea, and you are thinking, now, what do I do? Because that's how the testimony goes. It draws you there, and you understand, if this depends on me, I'm finished, and so is all the people of Israel. And you begin to get a glimpse of how Moses saw God. And when God says to Moses, why are you looking at me? Go forward. And then you find yourself lifting your staff in the sea parting and walking through and you think, this is not me, Moses, doing this. This is the mighty God. So this will take imagination. So these coming weeks, you need to come with your imagination prepped. Yeah, so you can hear these stories and stand in them and learn not so much what the people did, but how they knew God. Because a little bit about myself, I loved reading biographies of great Christian heroes, heroes of faith, when I was a kid. I still actually love them, but for a different reason now. When I was a kid, I loved them because when you're young, you think you can be a superhero. And you feel like if I just get everything just right, I will be a great person like this person, whatever the latest one you're reading is. And when you're older, you feel inferior to these people, and you feel like the ship has sailed. I'll never be Hudson Taylor. I'll never be Jackie Bollinger. I'll never be these people. I'm just never going to do it. It's past. And so we despair sometimes. The mistake is that I was looking at the person. And that will be your mistake if in these coming weeks you look at these people and you think, I must be like Moses, I must be like whatever, whoever. I must try harder to believe like they believed. That's not what this passage is doing. It is drawing us to know God the way they knew God. Come to know his faithfulness. Come to trust his faithfulness. And then we'll find that it's not that difficult to do what he calls us to do, to live in faith. So on to chapter 12. This is the other end of the bookend. So we've gone from there, all the books in the middle, all the heroes of faith, we're now here. Let's see. Oh, I did miss one. There we go. Based on clear promises. Oh, another one. No. Sorry, I didn't do my notes right. Oh, my goodness. There we go. That's all the stuff I just said. So in chapter 12, the author brings it all together. So now we have to imagine that we started at chapter 11. We heard what we just heard, all that wise things I just had there, all the brilliant stuff. And then we've gone through and we've heard story after story after story of persons, people who trusted God. And there's a few different things the author's trying to bring out, which will come out in these coming weeks. But they found God to be faithful. And now we come to the other end. And the chapter 12 sets us up with this picture of a race. And in this race, picture a marathon or something like that, you know, where you've got all the cheering fans either side of the road as you run up to the end. Now, I've never run a marathon or anything where anybody cheered for me towards the end of anything, but some people here have. Maybe there was even people cheering for you, and there's the cacophony. But if you look at the runners, it's like what Joe had on his slide. They are not watching for the fans. If you're a bit of a YouTuber or a TikTok fan or whatever, you can find all these videos of people who looked away at the last minute saying, I'm going to win, and then someone else overtakes them. They're looking at the end. They're looking at the finish line. So the road is lined with those who have testified, who've already testified of the faithfulness of God. And they cheer us on by their testimony. They are shouting their testimony to us. All the Old Testament saints. In fact, people that we know. I have in my life several people who line that road as well, who've already passed on. They finished their race. They ran well. They're people who, to me, are heroes of faith. They're in the cloud. They're cheering us on by the faithfulness of God. Keep running. Don't give up. But we're not looking at them. Okay? We're looking at the finish line. And at the finish line is the same one who started us off at the beginning. Jesus himself. So there we find the promise. And Hebrews 11 will tell us that a lot of these people all died in faith, not having received what they were promised. Because they were waiting. They were waiting for a promise which they couldn't be completed without us. But in Christ, we receive the promise because he is the promise. He is our finish line. He is where we're going. He's where we came from. The one who is the faithful one is also the basis of our promises. He is our sacrifice and our priest. He is the one who brings us into this place where what we cannot see is our daily experience. So the voices keep calling us to look forward. We're not looking at saints anymore. Yeah, we're not looking at saints or prophets or heroes or anything like that. We're looking at Jesus. And their voice just helps us to see him more. Jesus is the great witness. He is the promise. In Philippians 3, 7 and 8, Paul says that he's pressing forward to lay hold of the prize. What's the prize? It's to know Christ. It's to know Christ. It is when we see the life of Jesus laid down that we come to know the character and the love of God. You want to see God's credentials, you go to the cross. You see someone who would give everything for you. Let me flip to Romans 8:32 quickly. Where I've got it here. Paul says, he, God, who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him, with Jesus, graciously give us all things? If you have someone who has given the most precious that he has for you, how could you doubt he would give you some minor thing? Okay, he's given us Christ, so with him he will give us all things. So when we see this life, when we see Jesus, our eyes are opened. And faith is the only natural response we can have. How could we not believe the word of one who has proved himself faithful that way? So brothers and sisters, let our hearts dwell on him. This is our only hope. If we look for the approval of men, we will lose heart. If we look for some great transformation in ourselves so we become superheroes, we will give up. If we know him, we will believe. Amen.
Let's just pause for a moment, because Daryl has spoken some words that allow us to come back to bringing Jesus to be the center of everything. If we know him, we will believe, because he is the one who is believable. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. What our desire is that we might know you more, that we might know you in a deeper way than ever before. And that you would be the one who we look to in every circumstance of life and place our trust in you, put our whole weight on you, believe in you. There are some words from the Celtic community that speak in starkly realistic ways of a challenge of faith, which I'm going to invite us to stand and express together. Let's do that now. The words that recognize the circumstances that sometimes we find ourselves in, and yet by God's grace we can still say, without seeing, Lord, we believe. Lord, you have always given bread for the coming day, and though I am poor, today I believe. Lord, you have always given strength for the coming day. And though I am weak, today I believe. Lord, you have always given peace for the coming day. And though of anxious heart, today I believe. Lord, you have always kept me safe in trials. And now, tried as I am, today I believe. Lord, you have always marked the road for the coming day, and though it may be hidden, today I believe. Lord, you have always lightened this darkness of mine, and though the night is here, today I believe. Lord, you have always spoken when time was ripe, and though you be silent now, today I believe. We're going to draw on the riches of another faith community, the Teze community, whose vision statement is that it's better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. We're going to use this as our time of prayer. And during these prayers, there's a refrain, O Lord, hear my prayer, which you'll see on the screen. And around that chant, I'm going to pray. So let us be seated and use these words to express our hearts to the Lord. Thank you.
sing some harmonies.
We give you thanks, O God, for the multitudes of women, men, young people and children who have borne witness to the faith down the centuries. And for those today who are seeking to bring reconciliation, peace and justice throughout the world. We pray especially for the discussions, talks going on in China over these next days, and pray that they may see a reduction in the carbon emissions, that this planet may be seen as the holy place that you have given us. Lord, may we learn from those who have gone before, and be inspired by them as your Spirit leads us into places that need your presence. Lord, hear my prayer. We pray for all those who once belonged to our churches, but who over the years have lost their faith and feel unable to pray anymore. May your light shine afresh in their hearts. Rekindle their faith. And fill them with the comfort of knowing that they are loved by you and can never be forgotten. Father, we pray for those we know who are seriously ill at this time. Those recovering from operations like John. And those bearing constant pain. We hold before you, Lord Jesus, those who are lonely or afraid or those who have lost loved ones. May they find peace, healing, and hope in your unfailing love.
Lord, hear my
Finally, Lord, we pray for our churches here in Malvern and for all Christian leaders seeking to be led by Jesus and lead like Jesus. We give thanks for Dave and all the ways you have met with him during his sabbatical. Guide and direct him and everyone in leadership here into your life-giving paths, and grant us all the wisdom and courage to take those small steps of faith into your enormous future. Although within us there are wounds, Lord Christ, above us is the mystery of your presence, thus made lighter or even set free. We are going with you, the Christ, from one discovery to another. Alleluia. Amen. We're going to sing our final song, which is Waymaker, that great celebration of who Jesus is, the one in our midst, the one who leads us into the things that he's promised. Before we sing that, can I just say that if anyone's been touched or challenged or needs prayer for anything at all this morning, please do come to the front and the people from the prayer team ready to pray for you. Or if you'd just like to pray with anybody around that you like to ask for prayer where you're sitting, then please feel free to do that. We're going to stand now and celebrate this great Jesus who is the focus of our following.
You are here, working in this way.
Is who you are, and you are present in our midst, and you will go with us into this week ahead, into our lives ahead. And Lord, we just pray with all our heart that your Spirit would increase our faith. You would enable us to respond to you by just stepping forward into the things you have prepared for us to walk in. Lord, may we live our lives of response to you as we look to you as the one who guides us and inspires us and leads us into life, Lord, we pray. And just as we go now, Colin has asked if he can share something that is so relevant to all that's been said and thought about this morning. I'd just like to be seated for a moment because it's very, very poignant and a real point of encouragement for us all.
As many of you know, we're coming towards the end of our Alpha course that we've been running for the last 12 or 13 weeks. And I just love that verse that says, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. There have been a couple who started the course 13 weeks ago who, for various reasons, haven't been able to come very often. And a couple of weeks ago, they got married. And that was all very exciting. They came back from a honeymoon, and they turned up on Thursday. And I was being worried, concerned, because they'd missed so many sessions. And but God said, don't worry, even though you can't see it, I'm working. Even though you can't feel it, I'm working. And I always bring along a big bag full of books and try and plug one or two of them, you know. And so at the end of the session, which was about healing on Thursday, I was plugging this book. And I don't know why I'd chosen that book, but I was plugging this book. It was all about, you know, various difficult questions. Why does God allow suffering? And why doesn't God heal everybody? And the husband of this couple, newly married, came to me afterwards and said, do you know, I was talking to somebody at work this afternoon and they were asking me all these difficult questions because I was telling them I was going to Alpha. He said, and I Googled the answer to some of these difficult questions and that book came up. I think God wants me to read it. And he took it home. But I also said, well, you know, we've been talking about healing tonight. Anybody who would like to be prayed for healing, I'm going to go into the church here. We meet in one of the rooms at the side. I said, so I don't embarrass you. And if you would like prayer for healing, come and we'll pray for you. And he came and he allowed us to pray for him for healing. So we're standing in faith that God will heal that man and that he will enjoy the book. Praise God.
Yeah. So may God bless us. May God keep us in the Spirit's care and lead our lives with love. May Christ's warm welcome shine from our hearts and Christ's own peace prevail through this and every day till greater life shall call. Amen. It's just going to conclude our service there. Please do come forward for prayer if you'd like to. Jane is going to play a song which is quite a new song, which if you need to go, that's fine. If you don't, then please stay and enjoy. Thank you.
You was my cross, you was